Can we grab Mr. Mary Lewis?
Mr. Sharp, do you need me to introduce that case for additional business?
Yeah, you probably should. I mean, it's not a public hearing, but it should be brought up in the records.
Okay. It's case number 12,557, Key Properties Group LLC. I apologize, I don't have the thing in front of me. Sorry. They were seeking variances from, from the front yard setback requirement for existing buildings and also from the combined highway corridor overlay zone. Districts 334, map 6, parcel 74, 75, and part of 70.01. The zoning is C1. And the address is 18315 Coastal Highway, Lewis, Delaware.
And board members, I believe Mr. Hastings, I don't know if you participated in that vote on that one. I don't believe you did.
No, I don't think so.
Make sure I've got my facts right on that. That's correct. You did not participate in the discussion or vote on this one. So what this is a motion for rehearing, a motion for reconsideration under Rule 18.1 of the board's rules of procedure. It is not one that requires an oral argument or a public comment. Essentially what it is the board rendered a decision after its hearing a few months ago. After the written findings were approved, the applicant submitted a motion, which it's allowed to do within a prescribed period of time under the rules. The rules also allow for opposition to submit a response if they wish in writing. We did reach out to, there was opposition at the hearing. We did reach out to them with a letter to see if they wished to submit anything. Nothing was received within the time period stated. So you have before you the motion and materials that were submitted by the applicant through their attorney, David Hutt. So that's what you have in the record upon which to base your ruling. As I read it, there's the rules of procedure essentially allow for three different ways upon which a board may rehear a matter. The first one is if it's a mistake, inadvertent surprise, or excusable neglect. The second one is if it's newly discovered evidence which by due diligence could not have been discovered at the time of the hearing. And then this third one is fraud, misrepresentation, or other misconduct of an adverse party. Based on my review of the motion, I believe that the only issue before you is the first category of mistake, inadvertent surprise, or excusable neglect is what the applicant has sought the basis for its motion. I don't know if the board has any questions about the legal standard or any of the analysis regarding that.
Is there anything substantially, I thought we could hear if it was substantially different or it had been changed, or is that something
well,
else I'm thinking of?
The idea being is, like that would be where newly discovered evidence comes into effect. There's a standard for that, or if you know there was a misrepresentation by an adverse party, we don't have an allegation of that. Essentially, what we've got here is a claim. I'll just explain to you kind of what the rule on these kind of motions are, and we have a similar rule in the court systems, and essentially what it does is these types of motions are to allow judiciary body, in this case quasi-judiciary body, with an opportunity to reconsider a matter and to correct any alleged legal or factual errors prior to an appeal. So if this the applicant basically is saying, I'd like for you to rehear this after the decision was rendered. It is a motion for re-argument in Chancery Court. They've found that it's usually denied unless the court has overlooked a decision or principle law that would have controlling effect, or if the court has misapprehended the law or the facts so that the outcome of the decision would be affected. And then a motion for re-argument, if it represents a mere rehash of arguments already made at trial, the motion must be denied. Alleged mistakes of law are not as favored for grounds for release as are mistakes of fact. So that's kind of what the courts have analyzed a similar rule at the court level and how they treat that.
Okay.
I know the applicant, the move-in in this case, did list a handful of reasons, I think, as to why it felt that the board, I think, the perhaps made a mistake in either the apprehension of the facts or the law.
So you need a,
so as far as a process?
I think, well, I mean, the motion, I think, kind of speaks for itself as to what its basis are. I don't want to mischaracterize it, but they've laid out what they believe the board made a mistake on or, you know, misapprehended.
A mistake in law, is that the day?
Interpretation?
Or interpretation?
Yeah, I mean, that's, you do get to a point as to, is it, and I believe they did say factual errors as well, that I believe that terminology was used in there.
If we do not rehear it, what is the applicant's next step?
I don't like to give advice as to what an applicant may or may not do if the board were to deny
right.
the motion.
I'm just asking for me.
Yeah, they. I mean, they have the rights under Delaware law to, you know, appeal it if they wish.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So do I recuse myself from this?
Yeah, I think so, because you weren't okay. Party of the first one.
So Mr. Hastings recuses himself.
Sorry, I thought we said that earlier. Apologize.
Yep, that was fine. I wasn't following.
So, Mr. Sharp, as I understand it, one of the things we set sort of out here is whether any of the arguments made in this motion are simply disagreements with our judgment versus whether we made some kind of an error that needs to be corrected.
Yeah, I think that's a fair way of looking at it. You know, the courts have found if it's you just disagree with the decision, then that's not grounds to move forward. You know, it's really where there's been a misapprehension of the facts or the law that comes into play. I know there was some reference to alleged statements not made in the record. Of course, as the board is aware, any oral discussions or vote are preliminary in nature. We make that statement for every meeting. It's in our rules of procedure. The final written decision, which you all vote on, is the one that is the formal decision of the board.
So, Mr. Chair, I make a motion to deny the request to rehear this case.
I'll second the motion.
We have a motion and a second. Mr. Corman?
Nay.
Mr. Werfel?
Aye.
Dr. Carson?
Aye.
And I, too. So with a vote of 3-1, the motion to rehearing has been denied. Case number 12557. Is there any additional business?
I believe we have calendar.
Right, we do have the 2022 Board of Adjustment meeting schedule. I think you all got a copy in your packet. If all the dates are good, we'll move on.
I do have a, maybe a historical question for council. We've had a, we find ourselves in this question. We had a couple times tonight where precedents in terms of HOA approval before Board of Adjustment approval. And to me, it's kind of like a chicken and egg question. And has there ever been consideration given to if in fact there was going to need to be HOA approval, that it be received prior to any case coming to this board?
I think it's been considered in the past. The one, there's nothing in the code to require it, so we can't simply, I think absent some change, we probably have a hurdle there. But the one challenge that there are so many different communities with different restrictive covenants. They are not uniform.
Yeah.
And, not going into each and every one of them, I suspect there's some that may have regulations that say you can't get this approval until you've gotten approval from the county. And you're right, the chicken and the egg provision comes into play. The one thing the board could consider is always conditioning if approvals on receipt of HOA approval. That's got to come to the office and before it's really finalized.
It would just seem to me that we a leverage point gets created.
Mm-hmm.
One way or the other, yes, we have HOA, it comes to us. No, we don't. We're waiting for you. You being the county on the backside, but perhaps the conditioning would be the
answer. And unfortunately, we see that with other things as well. I mean, the commission will hear, they'll grant a conditional use application. It's contingent upon all agency approvals. I mean, there's sometimes an applicant may be waiting on this, that, or the other. I know Mr. Warfel, with his line of work, probably sees it from time to time as well. So.
But you're right, Dr. Carson. That has come up repeatedly since I've been on the board.
Just a thought.
It seems like the majority of the time, though, it's always waiting on county approval first. Majority of the time, anyway.
If I had to guess, it's probably some HOAs aren't as well staffed, and it's easier to say, go to the county if they're okay with it, and that may filter some of them out so that maybe they don't have to hear it. But it gives them perhaps a better record to look at.
Is that the thought here, though, that maybe that would filter some of the applicants out?
Well, but it also forces the standard on the HOA and saves an application fee if, in fact, the HOA says no.
Right, yeah.
And unfortunately, I think some of these HOAs, because I've actually just had one for a client of mine, those HOA fees on applications can be more than
really
the county charge.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I saw one just was $1,000.
Wow.
Oh. Profit center. I just want to say thanks to the staff for the meeting schedule. Appreciate it.
Well, do we need to vote on that?
I don't think so.
I'll be absent.
Yeah, council handles that. But if you had comments on some of the dates, certainly let us know. We wanted to get that to you all so you could look at and plan for next year. And if there was something that jumped out, like, hey, this is a problem for some, you are in the community, you may know a reason why one date may not be as desirable as another.
Appreciate it. You good?
Yep.
Motion to adjourn.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.